KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning is brought to you by Atlantic Collision Center at 108 Cedar Street. Let Doug Town help you today at Atlantic Collision Center.
Driving in my car, beep beep, obeying the law, sure is neat. Hope no one wrecks into me. Oh, wait a minute, here comes a car. It's my lucky day. Plenty of time to get out of his way.
But in real life, it happens this fast.
Driving in my car, beep.
Atlantic Collision Center, 108 Cedar Street in Atlantic, 243-7757. You could take your vehicle somewhere else, but you've already had one accident.
Two teams headed in opposite directions will collide in Dayton tonight when the Iowa Hawkeyes play Tennessee in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. The Hawkeyes have dropped six of their last seven games, while the Volunteers had their five-game winning streak snapped with a loss to top-ranked Florida in the semifinals of the SEC tournament. Both teams were part of the battle for Atlantis this past November. Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey says Tennessee is a much better team now than when he saw them back in November.
You know, just watching them from afar, not studying them, they've gotten progressively better. I think I watched two of their games when I was down in Atlantis, and they're athletic, they're powerful. You know, they can hurt you in a variety of different ways.
Iowa senior guard Roy Devin Marble says the Volunteers are a talented team.
Jordan McCray was a good two guard, and Jarnell Stokes was a good big man. So those are the two that really stick out at you, and they got good perimeter guards that know their roles and play the game the way they should. So they got a good team-oriented scheme going on over there that works for them.
Marble says the Hawkeyes view this as a new opportunity.
I think the guys are excited and ready, and like I said, I think the key is just we pick it up defensively. And like I said, it's a game of matchups come March. It's when players show up and you can tell who really wants to be there and who doesn't.
Well, Tennessee coach Quanzo Martin says he's concerned about the Hawkeyes' depth. He says the Volunteers expect to face a different Iowa team than the one that limped home in the regular season.
Well, I think for them, and like everybody else going to the NCAA tournament, it's a new season. And I'm quite sure they look at it the same way, because they might have been sitting there thinking we didn't play as well. We might have been on the outside looking in. Now, all of a sudden, we're in a tournament. They're rejuvenated. They're ready to go. But, again, the talent is there. So, for us, it's trying to be the very talented Iowa team that's in a tough Big Ten league, so they played against good competition.
Martin says the Volunteers are more concerned with how they play. He says the key for them down the stretch has been defense and limiting turnovers. Iowa's 20-12. Tennessee enters with a record of 21-12. The winner heads to Raleigh for a Friday afternoon meeting against Massachusetts. We'll have tonight's game for you here on the radio. The scheduled start time is 8:10 this evening. We're on the air at 7 o'clock with the pregame show tonight. North Carolina State and Albany have advanced to the second round of the NCAA men's tournament by winning last night in Dayton. T.J. Warren scored 16 of his 25 points in the second half as the Wolfpack led most of the way in a 74-59 victory over Xavier. Ralston Turner added 17 points to help NC State earn a meeting with St. Louis in Orlando. D.J. Evans scored 22 points, including a pair of free throws, with 12.6 seconds left as the Great Danes earned a 71-64 win over Mount St. Mary's. Peter Hooley had 20 points and Gary Johnson 13 for Albany, who was winless in its three previous NCAA trips before they advanced to Thursday's action against top-ranked Florida. Well, chemistry is a big part of every successful basketball team, and Iowa State coach Fred Hoiberg says it's a big reason the Cyclones are 26-7 and the third seed in the East region of the NCAA tournament. They'll open play on Friday night against North Carolina Central in San Antonio.
It's just a testament to who these guys are. They hang in there. They like each other. They're with each other off the floor all the time. And, you know, it's a group that really has gelled. And, again, you want them doing that at this time of year. You want them playing their best basketball. I thought last year we were playing pretty darn well going into the tournament. And this year hopefully we're a step ahead of that.
Hoiberg says the chemistry that's made the Cyclones good at handling adversity.
We've handled adversity very well so far with this group, and you know, I'm sure at some point in every game we play the rest of the season we'll be challenged, and adversity will hit us at some point. And again, that's, I think, been one of the great things about this team is we found a way to stay together when things get tough, and we played well down the stretch, and obviously you have to do that at this time of year.
Sophomore forward George Niang says the ability to handle adversity is the biggest difference from last year's team.
this year's team, we do a good job of handling adversity and then coming back with our own punch and making the other team go through some adversity. So I think this team's really good at that, and I think that's what helps us well to win.
Yang credits the leadership on the team.
I think it's just leaders like Melvin and DeAndre. When you have such great competitors like them and they refuse to lose, I think it just rubs off on all of us.
Well, if the Cyclones would win on Friday night, then they would meet either North Carolina or Providence in the next round on Sunday. In other tournament action last night, first-round NIT play got underway with Clemson beating Georgia State 78-66, Missouri topping Davidson 85-77, Arkansas beat Indiana State 91-71, Belmont over Green Bay 80-65, Minnesota got by High Point 88-81, St. Mary's over Utah 70-58, Robert Morris beat St. John's 89-78, Florida State over Florida Gulf Coast 58-53, and Georgetown beat West Virginia 77-65. In the CBI tournament, first-round action, it was Siena over Stony Brook, 66-55. Also in the CIT tournament, in first-round play, it was Columbia over Valpo, 58-56. Eastern Michigan beat Norfolk State, 58-54. San Diego topping Portland State, 87-65. Sam Houston State beat Alabama State, 71-49. VMI topping Canisius, 111-100. ETSU beat Chattanooga 79-66, and it was Wright State over East Carolina 73-59. A former Tennessee basketball coach, Bruce Pearl, has taken the same position at Auburn as he tries to revive a program that hasn't been to the NCAA tournament since 2003. He took the Vols to the NCAA tournament in each of his six seasons before getting fired 3 years ago in the wake of an NCAA investigation. Pearl was cited for unethical conduct for lying to investigators in June 2010 about improperly hosting recruits at his home. He was placed under a three-year show cause penalty by the NCAA, which expires in late August. Pearl was barred from recruiting during that span, and the Tigers have 30 days to ask the NCAA to remove that penalty. Well, Steve Donahue has been fired as Boston College's basketball coach. The Eagles never reached the NCAA tournament during Donahue's 4 years at the school, going 8-24 this year and 54-76 overall. Washington State has dismissed men's basketball coach Ken Bone after five seasons and a record of 80-86. In Pac-12 play, he was just 29-61 with no appearances in the NCAA tournament during his tenure. Montana State basketball coach Brad Hughes has resigned after eight seasons and a 107-133 mark. Well, the Iowa women's basketball team is seeded sixth in the upcoming NCAA tournament as they'll face Marist in Iowa City on Sunday. The Hawkeyes, who reached the finals of the Big Ten tournament, will host first and second round games in the Louisville region. Louisville, which is ranked number 4 in the country, was awarded a number 3 seed in a trip to Iowa City. The Cardinals will play number 14 Idaho at Carver Hawkeye Arena earlier on Sunday. The winners of those opening round games will square off again on Tuesday. Well, the winningest coach in Iowa girls basketball history has resigned. The Des Moines Register reports that Gene Kling submitted his resignation Monday after his coaching contract was not renewed for the walk-on high school girls basketball program. The resignation followed a season in which his team went 8-12. The 77-year-old told the newspaper that officials from the school district asked him to resign. In early 2013, Kling became just the ninth girls basketball coach in the country to reach more than 1,000 game wins. He's the only Iowa coach to have that distinction. Kling has coached basketball for more than 50 seasons, with most of that time spent at West Central and Maynard. He also spent 11 seasons at Waukon. I'll have more sports after this timeout.
Driving in my car, beep, beep, obeying the law, sure is neat. Hope no one wrecks into me. Oh, wait a minute, here comes a car. It's my lucky day. Plenty of time to get out of his way.
But in real life, it happens this fast.
Driving in my car, beep.
Atlantic Collision Center, 108 Cedar Street in Atlantic, 243-7757. You could take your vehicle somewhere else, but you've already had one accident.
In football news, Kansas City Chiefs general manager John Dorsey says the controversial signing of wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders by AFC West rival Denver has been put to bed and that he's focused on what he can do during the rest of free agency and in the draft. Sanders had visited the Chiefs last week when reports began to surface that he hadn't agreed to a contract. His agent Steve Weinberg said that was never the case, and reports citing unnamed sources that claimed he was shopping the Chiefs' offer to other teams were inaccurate. Sanders ultimately signed an $18 million three-year deal with Denver in the Chiefs' lengthy and frustrating pursuit of a wide receiver to help out quarterback Alex Smith rolls on. Dorsey said Tuesday in his first availability since the start of free agency that the deal was put to bed, and he said, quote, "We have to move forward and we have to build for this organization." The family of Colts owner Jim Irsay says that he has placed himself in a treatment facility after police found multiple prescription drugs in his vehicle during a traffic stop. The 54-year-old Irsay faces preliminary charges of misdemeanor driving while intoxicated and four felony counts of possession of a controlled substance. He was arrested near his home in suburban Carmel late Sunday and released the next day. Elsewhere around the NFL, Carolina quarterback Cam Newton will undergo surgery Wednesday on his left ankle, and he'll be sidelined for 4 months. The team says the three-year NFL veteran has experienced soreness in the ankle since the end of last season. The New England Patriots have announced the re-signing of wide receiver Julian Edelman, who caught a career-high 105 passes with 6 touchdowns after Wes Welker left for the Denver Broncos before last season. The announcement came 3 days after a post on Edelman's Twitter account that said Foxborough is home, excited to be back. The Patriots did not disclose details of the contract, which is reportedly worth $17 million over 4 years. The Dallas Cowboys have agreed to terms with Henry Melton, the third defensive lineman, to join them in free agency since the release of franchise sacks leader DeMarcus Ware. Mario Manningham is returning to the New York Giants after 2 seasons with San Francisco. The Jacksonville Jaguars have signed free agent receiver Tandon Doss, who led the NFL in punt return average last season. Safety Brandon Merriweather is re-signed with the Washington Redskins. And the Panthers have announced the signing of 2-time Pro Bowl selection and unrestricted free agent safety Roman Harper to a 2-year contract. 4 Georgia football players have been released on bond following their arrests Monday on misdemeanor charges of theft by deception. University of Georgia Chief of Police Jimmy Williamson says an investigation found that starting safety Trey Matthews, defensive lineman Jonathan Taylor, and James Deloche received double payments for stipend checks of $71.50 issued by the Georgia Athletic Department. Williamson says the players deposited the paper checks through a mobile device and then also cashed the checks at a convenience store. Wide receiver Uriah LeMay was charged with cashing a roommate's check after the check already had been deposited through a mobile app. And in golf news, the upcoming Arnold Palmer Invitational will be without its marquee attraction. Tiger Woods said on his website Tuesday that he called Palmer to say that he won't be able to play because of persistent back pain. Woods is the defending champion at Bay Hill and an 8-time winner at one of his favorite courses. He says it was too early to say how he'll be for the Masters next month. Woods withdrew from the Honda Classic in the final round 3 weeks ago. He played the following week at Doral and said he felt back spasms during the final round on his way to a 78. That was the highest score that he shot in a final round. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Atlantic Collision Center at 108 Cedar Street. Let Doug Town help you today at Atlantic Collision Center. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.